Radio Prague News.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel arrived in Prague on Tuesday for a brief working visit. The Senate Commission investigating intelligence leaks has called on the Prime Minister and former PM Mirek Topolánek to testify. And the Interior Ministry is seeking to increase the authorities of municipal police officers in order to cover expected layoffs in the state police. German Chancellor Angela Merkel is in Prague on Tuesday for a brief working visit. During a five-hour trip, Ms. Merkel met with Prime Minister Petr Nečas on the European Fiscal Pact and the completion of the Temelín nuclear power plant. The two also took part in a debate on the future of Europe with students of Charles University. The German Chancellor has said she respects the Czech stances on nuclear power and the Euro Pact, though her country holds opposing positions. Germany definitively abandoned nuclear energy after the Fukushima catastrophe in Japan last year and has spearheaded the Fiscal Responsibility Pact, which binds the signatories' governments to observe balanced state budgets. The Czech Republic and Britain are the only two EU members that have not yet acceded to the pact. A Senate commission investigating intelligence leaks has called on Prime Minister Nečas and his predecessor Mirek Topolánek to testify. According to the head of the commission, Social Democrat Richard Dolejš, Mr. Nečas should be given the opportunity to comment on the issue as the person responsible for coordinating the secret services. The commission wants to hear Mr. Topolánek due to his recent comments in the media that the Security Information Service did not receive complete information on the Bem Janosik case. The commission is investigating media claims that the Security Information Service leaked wiretapped telephone calls between former Prague Mayor Pavel Bem and his friend, construction tycoon Roman Janosik, to the detective agency ABL. The conversations suggest the businessman had an inordinate amount of influence on city governance. Unions and civic initiatives have launched a campaign to push for early parliamentary elections. The aim of the Stop the Government campaign is to end the government reforms and force the cabinet to resign. A demonstration called for April 21st in Prague is to be filed by a week, followed by a week of protests in cities throughout the country. Among other things, the union's complaints focus on measures such as increased VAT, slowing pension growth, and the dismissal of public sector employees. School sector unions will likely also protest, while transport unions have said they are prepared to launch a larger strike than the one last June. The Interior Ministry is seeking to increase the authorities of municipal police officers in order to cover expected layoffs in the state police. According to the Ministry's proposed legislation, municipal officers would be able to fill some of the roles of the state police by inspecting bars and casinos after hours, conducting drug and alcohol tests, and accessing citizens' police records. While municipal police departments have welcomed parts of the idea, others have warned that the plan could pose problems for small communities, as only around 350 of the 6,000 communities in the Czech Republic have a police presence. The state police has warned that planned cuts to the Interior Ministry budget will mean closing a quarter of the country's police stations and laying off a corresponding amount of the force, some 10,000 police officers. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be mostly cloudy with scattered showers and daytime highs in the low teens Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Jan Richter. Coming up in today's show, German Chancellor Angela Merkel is meeting with top Czech officials in Prague. We'll also hear from Professor Rudolf Zahradník, Angela Merkel's one-time boss during her stay at the Czech Academy of Sciences.
Angela is, we call it in physics, constant of motion.
And later we visit Prague's Café Mortmater in a new edition of Spotlight.
Mortmater was the place where they were dancing tango for the first time in Prague, or even in the Empire, because it was before Czechoslovakia.
All that and more coming up, so please stay with us. German Chancellor Angela Merkel is visiting Prague on Tuesday. Her meetings with Prime Minister Petr Nečas and President Václav Klaus are dominated by the EU's fiscal compact, which the Czech Republic has refused to join, and the two countries' differing approaches to energy policy. Sara Borůvka has been following the story and joins me now in the studio. Sara, I believe Angela Merkel was rather diplomatic and non-confrontational on these issues.
Yes, Jan, actually she was. Despite her reputation for being sort of a woman with an iron fist, she was very diplomatic. On the issue of the fiscal compact, she was quick to stress that the signature was most important for Eurozone countries, and what counted for her was that the Czechs respected the push for fiscal responsibility and that it becomes a Czech priority. And Prime Minister Petr Nečas was very quick to assure her that this was indeed the case. He mentioned that the state budget deficit would be adjusted to 3% GDP in the next year and would therefore be below the original Maastricht limits. And actually, we have some sound from the news conference just an hour ago right here.
We are on the best way to meet the Maastricht criteria next year. Last year, our state budget deficit was at 3.7% GDP. This year, we will be below 3.5%, and next year below 3%. Our total government debt is 41%, which is comfortably below the Maastricht limit, and we will work intensively to introduce automatic debt limits into our constitution this year. So in terms of the content of the fiscal compact, and I even said this to Chancellor Merkel today, we were shadow signatories of the pact.
So it looks like he coined a new term here, shadow signatory. And on the issue of energy, Angela Merkel said that Germany was definitely going to go ahead with the nuclear phase-out, but that it respected the Czech decision to expand the Temelín nuclear plant at the same time.
Now, did the two leaders address the problems that the German wind power is causing to Czech power grids?
Yes, they did. Prime Minister Nečas pledged to invest into the Czech power grid system to alleviate the problems, actually. And for her part, Chancellor Merkel said that some legislative changes were currently being prepared in Germany that hopefully will speed up the improvement of their system so that it does not cause overloads in the Czech Republic.
Germany is an important trade and political partner for the Czech Republic. What was said on the issue of the bilateral Czech-German relations?
Well, in terms of business, Chancellor Merkel was actually careful to stress the interdependence of the two economies rather than the dependence of the Czech economy on Germany, which is often perceived that way. And she said that this had to be expanded and further connected. And if we look at the political sphere, she said she was very pleased to be visiting Prague in the year that marks the 15-year anniversary of the signature of the Czech-German Declaration, which was really a milestone in the improvement of Czech-German relations. And she added that the collaboration between Czech Republic and Germany should be expanded and not just take place on the level of Prague and Berlin, but also on the level of regions and municipalities.
Thank you, Sara Borůvka. Angela Merkel's current visit to Prague is the fifth since she became the German Chancellor. But Ms. Merkel often stayed in Prague even before she entered politics. In the 1980s, she spent some time at the then Czechoslovak Academy of Sciences, where she worked at the Department of Theoretical Physics. I spoke to Professor Rudolf Zahradník, who recalls the times when the future German Chancellor was a member of his team.
Prague, years ago, represented a natural and physiological meeting point for sciences from various parts of the world, which was particularly important for our colleagues coming from that which was called German Democratic Republic, because they had even poorer possibilities for traveling than we. Angela has been from the very beginning a very enthusiastic researcher. Her knowledge in the realm of theoretical physics, but also chemistry, has been really impressive. She was working hard but she also enjoyed nice cuisine, a glass of beer, a glass of wine. She had a very, very broad knowledge concerning historical parts of Prague. She also enjoyed from time to time theater or concerts. When speaking about concerts, I would say for Angela Merkel, it's a kind of family hobby number one, together with her husband, Professor Achim Sauer, professor of Humboldt University in Berlin, who also was, I would say, external member of our group of theoretical and quantum chemistry.
Angela Merkel's political style has been described as modest. She's a woman that puts no show on, as it were, and pragmatic, of course, yet very effective and efficient. Do you recall such traces from her work as a scientist at your institute?
You described features of Angela quite correctly. What is fascinating for my colleagues and for myself, she remains the same Angela as she was 10, 15, 20, 25 years ago. Very modest human being who is always able to defend her ideas, regardless whether she was speaking about quantum mechanics or whether now is dealing with political affairs. Yeah, we would be happy if one day this world, suffering in many respects from most different troubles, if this world had more politicians of the same quality as Angela Merkel is. It means extraordinarily educated people with deep knowledge, with understanding for opinions of other people. Yes, that's Angela.
Now, Professor Zahradník, you're going to take part in the lecture on the debates that Prime Minister Nečas and Angela Merkel will be holding at the law faculty of Charles University. Have you been in touch with Ms. Merkel ever since she entered politics after the fall of communism?
Oh, yes, yes. Interactions, mental interactions, are not anymore so intensive as years ago. But I will stress it, Angela is as charming as she was 20, 25 or 30 years ago, so enthusiastic on discussions. Of course, it is for us always a meeting connected with great pleasure. First of all, because Angela's politics, we admire that politics for surviving of Europe. It is extremely important, and we also admire, and I stress it again and again, Angela is, we call it in physics, constant of motion. Constant opinions, constant, very decent behavior, nice human being.
I was talking there to Professor Rudolf Zahradník, a former boss of Angela Merkel during her time at the Czech Academy of Sciences. And now, in the newest spotlight, we stay in Prague for a taste of Paris. Sara Borovka takes us to the Czech capital's Café Montmartre.
Tucked away on Zhytězová Street in Prague's old town, Café Montmartre is one of the city's oldest coffee houses. While it looks rather unassuming from the outside, the former cabaret has a fascinating history. Famous writers such as Franz Kafka and Egon Erwin Kisch are said to have spent many a wild night here, and Café Montmartre continues to draw artists, writers, and actors. I spoke to owner Iva Nesvadpova about the cafe's history, its guests, and its upcoming anniversary.
The origins came back to, let's say, the end of the 19th century and beginning of the 20th century. Even before, there was sort of pub or sort of hostel also for people coming to Prague and trying to find rooms to stay. And later on, there was a man who opened so-called Montmartre. It was in 1912. And he called the place Montmartre because he liked very much Paris, and Paris like cafes and pubs and wine cellars. So this was the biggest era of Montmartre, the highest, you know. The highlights were all the people who were attending very crazy evenings, soirees.
What kind of guests came in those days? Some, maybe some important names who spent some time here.
Well, they were mainly writers. I would say they were Czech, German, and Jewish writers who were coming to Montmartre. There was, of course, Kafka, who was coming also to this place, and many others, Uris Dill, and between Czechs there was Egon Erwin Kiss, the most famous, who was even practicing some dances in Montmartre, because Montmartre was the place where they were dancing tango for the first time in Prague, or even in the Empire, because it was before Czechoslovakia.
And are there any recordings, pictures, anything left from that time that has been preserved?
When we reopened Montmartre, because it was closed for about 50 years, it was just a warehouse of paper. And then the whole building was repaired, reconstructed, and we reopened it in 2000. And we will celebrate in September 100 years of Montmartre. So we try to find all possible photographs and anything what could remind people old days of Montmartre. It means furniture mainly. So we have furniture from 20s, mainly tables and sofas and also lighting. And as far as for photographs, we have a whole collection of pictures from the National Museum of Prague.
Great, that sounds really interesting. And may I ask you, back in the day, as you mentioned, during the kind of golden era of Montmartre, of course, there were many famous guests. Are there other famous Czechs who come here now, or what kind of guests do you get these days?
I think that we quite succeeded to renew this bohemian surrounding, and also we created a special place for nowadays bohemians. So we have a whole group of surrealists who come regularly every Thursday night. Then we have a group of architects and graphic designers who come every Friday night. And then, of course, many, many other people. We have a lot of, let's say, actors, because we are just next to the Academy of Theatre, so they are coming, I mean, young people who are studying either scenography or acting, as well as their professors who come regularly every day. They are our daily guests.
And do you ever still get those wild nights like you had back in the 20s?
Unfortunately, this is totally different from 100 years ago, because this is a very strange thing in Prague, that almost all the restaurants or wine cellars, cafes, have to be closed by midnight, and so do we. And it means that there are no more wild, wild nights. Of course, that we have a lot of different activities where people celebrate in either birthdays or publishing books. This happens very often at Montmartre. But it's quite different, because at those times there were no TV, no radio, so people were all the time out. So now it's different.
And during the times of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, of course, coffeehouse culture was very important, also here in Prague. If you look at the landscape of cafes in the city now, what role do you think do they still play? What importance do they have today?
I think that the importance might be the same as before, you know, because people still like very much going out, and mainly in Prague, people were always out, even during the socialist era. I remember that we were out every night, you know, in cafes or in pubs, and this remains the same as before. So I think that the role of cafes and little restaurants and pubs is very important, that people can meet someplace after work, you know, or they are even meeting at Montmartre to work, because they are working over scenario scripts, you know, and so on.
You mentioned that this place, this cafe, was closed for 50 years. I'm imagining it was linked to the communist regime. Why did it close down?
It was closed down even before the communist era. It was closed down during the Second World War, when they closed it down, and then it remained closed until, let's say, early 90s. Of the last century, of course, when they started, I mean, the city of Prague, to restore the whole building.
And who was behind the effort to actually reopen this cafe here?
Well, it was our effort, but the truth is that it's the city of Prague one. They were trying to remind that wonderful history of Montmartre. So they were looking for someone who would reopen cafe, let's say, in the same style, or apparently in the same style as it was before. And so the choice was that this was us, so we did it.
And how attached have you become to this cafe over the years?
Well, I liked it as a girl, you know, because I'm a Prague girl, you know. So I remember that we were coming here to this little street, Řetězová, which was a very horrifying street. It was very dark, and building all around was really falling down, you know. They were in a very bad state. So, so many years after, there was this opportunity which occurred, and it always reminds me those old days when we were kids and we were just playing around, you know, and not be able really to enter this street because there was some kind of fear.
And how difficult was the renovation process?
The renovation was very, very difficult because it was completely renovated. I mean, there are four floors, and the city did everything very properly. So we are very satisfied with the reconstruction. And as far as our participation, we took that activity mainly as far as for interiors.
And where was all this furniture and all the pictures stored while this was just a paper warehouse? Was it in this actual building still, or?
No, there was nothing at all. It took us 1 year to find the furniture from that time, you know. So it means that we were buying and collecting it for about 1 year or a year and a half before we had enough of tables, chairs, sofas, lighting and everything, you know. So this is not originally from Montmartre, but it's originally the same epoch, the same time.
And you are coming up on your 100-year anniversary. Could you tell our listeners if you have any special events planned to mark this occasion?
Yes, we are planning at the beginning of the new season. It means at the beginning, let's say, of October, to do a few performances, cabaret, because this was a place where there were many, many cabarets almost every night, as far as what we have heard, you know, from people. So we will try to do something similar and somehow celebrate 100 years of Montmartre.
Sara Borůvka was talking to Ivan Nesvadbová, manager of the well-known Prague coffee house Café Montmartre. What is your favorite Prague cafe or restaurant? Let us know. We are now rounding off our program with a rerun of our popular language miniseries ABC of Czech, brought to you by Daniela Lazarová.
Hello. Hello and welcome to our Czech teaching series focusing on farm plants and crops. Today we look at vegetables. The Czech word
zelenina
is derived from the word
zelený,
meaning green. All the plants we're going to speak about today are not vegetables, strictly speaking, but they fit best in today's instalment. For example, potatoes.
Brambory.
There are many regional words for them, but we'll stay with the official term. If someone's nose resembles a potato,
nos jako brambora,
you can imagine what it looks like. If someone is handling a problem like a hot potato,
horký brambor,
it means it is a problem so unpleasant they try to get rid of it quickly. If someone falls down like a sack of potatoes,
svalit se jako pytel brambor,
they collapse with a bump. For some reason, beetroot is a symbol of health in Czech.
Zdraví jako řípa.
Healthy as a beetroot is a common expression referring to someone's good health. You can also be healthy as a turnip.
Zdraví jako tuřín.
Or a horseradish.
Zdraví jako křen.
Tasty beer is usually compared to horseradish too.
Pivo jako křen.
Staying with root vegetables, the phrase
strouhat mrkvičku
is mostly used by children and expresses malicious joy. It is used when somebody fails in something and others are sneering at the poor child, making gestures as if they were indeed grinding a carrot. If you strive for something and you don't succeed, you can say
ostrouhal jsem mrkvičku.
I ground a carrot, meaning I went home empty-handed. I did not achieve what I came for. The Czech version of the English expression carrot and stick is sugar and whip in Czech.
Cukr a bič.
Parsley.
Petržel.
Is another favorite vegetable in this region. If someone does not understand something, we can say
rozumí tomu jako koza petrželi.
He understands it as a goat understands parsley. Another favorite vegetable is cabbage. It is vital for the Czech national dish.
Vepřo, knedlo, zelo.
Pork, dumplings and cabbage or sauerkraut. To get into someone's cabbage patch
lézt někomu do zelí
means to interfere in somebody's area of interest, such as courting his wife. And that's it for today's lesson, which comes almost at the end of the cucumber season.
Okurková sezóna.
The Czech term for the silly season, when nothing is happening except the cucumber harvest. Well, I hope you'll join us next time for more idioms about farm crops. Till then,
nashledanou.
That edition of ABC of Czech by Daniela Lazarová was the final part of our English language program for today. We, as always, love to hear from you, so if you have any comments or questions for us, do get in touch. You can write us a letter to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2, or send an email to english@radio.cz. But for now, from myself, Jan Richter, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.